then it gives us all day Sunday. But it is a bit of an adjustment when you're going strong on Saturday. So it's great that we are together. And it's also great that we have air conditioning here. Did you notice that? Do you remember last summer? Yeah, we didn't have air conditioning. So praise God for the changes he brings to us and the additional perks we have and the comfortable chairs. And, you know, we could go on and on and on. And we are back having our At the Movie series, which we did last June. And so with that means that you all get popcorn while you're here. And so that is going to be passed out now. And you get a choice between regular or cheddar. And so as you are getting your popcorn, let me just tell you a bit about what At the Movie series means. What it means is that there's a couple of challenges. One is that your preaching team is going to be seeing movies that are either in the theater now or are out the last year. And then we're going to take the movies and we're going to try to tie scripture to that movie. Your challenge is that if you bring a guest with you who is not a regular attender, you get a movie ticket and your guest gets a movie ticket. So you get to go to the movies as well. And that means you right there. Yeah. Yay. Yay. So that's an encouragement. And you know what is cool is that June has 5 Sundays. So we're going to have 5 weeks of this and movie tickets every week. So continue to invite your friends. And I know some of you invited people this week and maybe they were unable to come. There's 4 more weeks to do this. And so this is our first outreach event of the summer. And we want to be purposeful about ways that we can invite our friends to church so that they hear the word and also experience the fellowship. So as you guys are having your popcorn, I want to remind you that you got programs today, and the programs are thick. There's a few pages in it. If you're a note taker, you're going to find sermon notes as the very last sheet. So there's sermon notes. So eat your popcorn, take your notes. There's also licorice in the back. No one is going to discourage you from getting up and getting a piece of licorice if that also is part of your movie experience. Today's sermon challenge is to take Avengers Endgame, and we're going to work that into teaching from the Bible. Whatever it takes. Did anyone else in history ever say whatever it takes? I believe Jesus Christ said whatever it takes, that God said whatever it takes. This is it. This is the final chance that humans have, is if I become a person myself, whatever it takes. And he came to the earth. And we became his disciples. He discipled 12 and 72, and he gave instructions, commission. And then we find out when we read history in the Bible that we become part of those people who are equipped as the ones to carry out his mission. And we begin saying what? Whatever it takes. And that takes a lot of courage. We make that first step to say, Jesus Christ, come into my life as my Savior. And he does that, and our world is changed, and the energy and the passion that we feel inside when our life is filled with the Holy Spirit is something we've never experienced before. Do you guys have a memory of that in your life? I remember that. I remember the first couple of weeks after I became a Christian. I actually became a Christian, and my husband, maybe a day later, was like, you know, there's a lot of people at church praying for your salvation. And he was sort of like giving me this talk about, you know, I hope you get saved someday soon. And I said to him, I accepted Jesus yesterday at church. And he's like, oh, okay. And then, Well, anyway, I won't go into him then. But my life felt so different. I felt joy like I had never felt before, and there was no explanation for it. And that was something that carried me. And it gave me this feeling of saying, I am going to be purposeful in doing whatever it takes. And that's why we're here today, because we're believers and we come together in fellowship and we want to grow deeper in our relationship with God and say, fill me up, give me fuel, give me energy, because I'm going to go out into the world and whatever it takes, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I saw Avengers Endgame. Last year I saw Avengers Infinity War. It came out about the same time last year. I believe I shared at that point that I slept through part of that movie, but I got most of it. This year I was better prepared because I have this book called 5-Minute Marvel Stories because I have a 4-year-old grandson. And so I have been reading this every time I've been over there, once a week for a year, I have read this book. I know all about Thor. I know about Iron Man. I really, really, really know about Hulk. That's Cody Beckett Beadnell's favorite. I don't know what this Cody's favorite is. So I had my cliff notes. I had seen part of last year's movie. I went to this movie, and I have to say, it held my attention much better. They did a good job building characters in the beginning. And I'm not going to give any spoilers. No spoilers, because I want you all to see it if you want to see it for yourselves. Let me just say that I know which Avengers may not be in future movies. But I'm just going to keep that to myself. What I'm going to do today, though, is take 3 quotes from the movie. So I stayed awake for that first part where, you know, people are talking and engaging. And then the battle started, and I took a little snooze. And then I actually was trying to text my daughter going, I'm getting tired, and I couldn't text it because I kept falling asleep during the text. Does that ever happen to any of you guys? You could not, no? I could not finish the text because I kept falling asleep. But I did then wake up. I saw who survived and who didn't survive, and then I saw the ending and the closing. So I did better this year. And as I was watching it, I just typed in my notes in my phone several quotes that just stood out to me. And I decided I would take 3 of those today and share them with you and tie them in with Scripture. So the first quote is this. I get emails from a raccoon, so nothing sounds crazy to me anymore. I get emails from a raccoon, so nothing sounds crazy to me. Do you want to guess who says that? Oh. No? Oh, okay. Does any Avenger fans want to take a guess who says that? Huh? Oh, yeah, no. I'm not going to tell you anyway because I promise no spoilers. I'm not going to say because I'm not giving any spoilers, but good guesses. No, I do know. I do know. So I'll tell you after. So anyway, this is kind of a crazy quote. But what it made me think of is how, as Christians, things don't always make sense to us. We hear things from a God who we can't see, and we follow this God who we cannot see, and we say that we will follow this God who we cannot see till the ends of the earth, and that we will do what this God asks us to do, no matter what, because there's something within us that tells us that we know this is the truth. And so we can make some pretty absurd claims that don't make sense to other people. We could say, I was healed. I was healed. We can say, my friend, I prayed for my friend. And my friend who had been depressed for years is no longer depressed. We can say, someone came to my mind who I hadn't thought of for years, and I gave that person a phone call because I just felt like I should do that. And they said, oh my gosh, I was just praying that someone would reach out to me, and you did it. We can say all sorts of things that don't make sense to the world, to our ordinary, everyday lives. We can make some claims that go beyond reason because we live with the Holy Spirit. We can hope in the midst of insurmountable challenges. As Amy was saying earlier about that song's ocean and how sometimes life feels like it swirls around us. And the thing that goes into my mind is not oceans. I'm sorry, but it's like a toilet bowl. I mean, sometimes that's what life feels like. And you're swirling around and you're like, I think I'm going down. And you don't. Even though it feels like that's where you're going, that things are just tanked, that there isn't going to be anything possibly good that can come out of it. I do want to just interject here that this week I had a good week. Most of the time when I'm asked, how was your week? How are you doing? I answer okay. And I say it was just okay because that's all my life is right now. This week was good, you guys. This week was good. Now, it's not necessarily going to stay like this forever and ever. I'm journaling this week because I want to remember this time. But there's been times I've felt like I'm swirling around and it's like I'm going down. But God has not let that happen. He has allowed me to continue feeling hope and continue feeling joy despite circumstances. And we can claim that in the same way this character says, well, nothing surprises me anymore because I get emails from a raccoon. Well, I hear from God. I get visions from God. I get answers to prayer. I've seen people healed. I've seen people come back into church who didn't think they'd ever come back into church again. Lives are changed all the time because of God. The life in the Spirit, though, doesn't make sense to those who haven't experienced it yet. But we continue to pray. We continue to talk like crazy people about the experiences in our lives. And we know and trust that God is going before us and doing work. So I'm tying this quote into a scripture from 1 Corinthians 2, 11 and 12, where it says, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit. So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. Amen? Amen. That is absolutely the truth. We know God. We know the God who created the universe. We know the God who put us together so carefully, gave us certain personalities. I think he even gave us our quirks and thought, he'll be a lot of fun or she'll be a kick in the pants. And I think he loves that about us. We have the Spirit of Jesus Christ within us. And that means that we have a different viewpoint. We are citizens of heaven. We are no longer citizens of this world. And it is hard sometimes to remember that when we feel that the sand underneath us is sinking or we feel like the waves are overcoming us, or things just seem impossible. How are we going to pay the rent? Where is our next meal going to come from? How are we going to get to the doctor? All sorts of questions. How is the child I'm supporting across the world going to know the love of Christ? There's so many different things that we think there's no way, but there is a way. There is a way because we have the Spirit of God and we know God's heart, and He does things all the time that seem so unusual and so unordinary that it blows our mind. And sometimes we get emails from raccoons. Sometimes we hear from God. Now, one thing I want to stress right here is that we are part of the Wesleyan doctrinal, Arminian doctrinal church and beliefs. And so we need to be careful when we just say, God told me, or when we hear someone say, God told me so, so there you go. Because everything that we think we hear from God, or someone else says we hear from God, we need to make sure that it's not being done as a way to manipulate. Because how can you argue with someone who says, God told me, so there you go. I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or you should do this, or you should do that. And so the reason I bring up Wesley, John Wesley, as our founder of Methodism, is because he said that we must always check these things through four different lenses. The first is Scripture. Does it line up with Scripture? First and foremost, if it doesn't, it is not from God. God is not going to go against what He has said in His Word. The other is experience, what we know about God, not just ourselves, but also what tradition has shown of God, who God is, how He does things. Do those things line up? If so, it passes the test that indeed this likely is from God. And then finally, we need to put it through, reason. Does this make reasonable sense? God is not a God who is of chaos. So suddenly, if someone tells you to do something exactly opposite of what your values tell you to do, you know, you don't know where your next meal's coming from. So what you do is you go into the store and you take a big purse and you pull two things off the shelf and you slip one in your purse and you just take one through the self-checkout line. And you're like, what? And you're like, that's what God told me to do. That would just stop you in your tracks. And you would be like, God says do not steal. Number one. And you would just say, no, this is not from God. People make excuses for behaviors that are out of line with the Holy Spirit all the time and use the excuse that God told them to do it. And we need to just beware of that. At the same time, we are fully open to hearing from God. But knowing that we're not foolproof. So having the counsel of others is the other thing that's really important. If there's a big decision that we're called to make, we don't just say, God, tell me. We say, God, tell me and help me to make sure, check with my community, make sure it's the right thing. Does that make sense? I have examples, but I won't go on with that. If that doesn't make complete sense to you, though, I have an example that I could share with you later. We can talk about it. So the second quote is this one. Resentment is corrosive, and I hate it. Resentment is corrosive, and I hate it. Does anybody want to guess who said this? Because I'm not going to tell you, but you can guess. No, you're done playing that game. Okay. Resentment. Yes, go ahead. Okay, the last quote you think was Star-Lord? Okay, that's a good guess. I'm not giving any spoilers. So, resentment is corrosive, and I hate it. Resentment means bitter indignation at having been treated unfairly. So, are you ever treated unfairly? Yeah, I think that we can all say yes to that. We can build up a resentment if we're treated unfairly. And this character says that it is corrosive, like battery acid, corrosive. And this character said, I hate it. Last week's sermon was about humility and how humility doesn't mean that we are just thinking of ourselves as just rotten people and trying to put ourselves down, but it's actually something that we're ascending to, that we're working towards because of Christ's humility. And so when we get all upset about people treating us unjustly, we need to remember a few things. First of all, that we're not in a competition, that running a race, as Paul says over and over in the New Testament, he's running a race, he's running towards the finish line, he has a goal, that it's not a competition, that we're all running towards God. There was another quote, and this isn't one I'm teaching on, but I do just want to share, that said, the end, we have to remember that the end is part of the journey. And that really spoke to me. The end is part of the journey. So my husband, I actually have a thing in my house that says, enjoy the journey. I'm not one who enjoys the journey very well. I like to find the shortest way to get from point A to point B. And he would not do that. He would just meander and get wherever we were going eventually. And I learned to keep my mouth shut. And I didn't build up resentment. I got rid of that. However, he would say to me, just enjoy the journey. And so when I heard that quote, the end is part of the journey, it made me realize that we are going through this life. We are on a race. We're pressing on towards the goal that God has before us. The end, crossing into heaven. Standing before Jesus, even though it's a judgment throne, we stand before him covered with grace. That's part of the journey. That's what we're journeying to. And so we need to remember we're not in a competition. We're part of the human race, yes, but we're running this together. The other thing we need to remember is that we are not the judge. That Christ Jesus sits on the judgment seat. And praise the Lord, he has covered us with his grace. And the other thing we need to remember is that we need to be careful not to hide ego in our insecurities. That we don't try to promote our own self and our own ways and hide behind that and say, well, it's just that I'm insecure, that I'm focusing all the time on myself. A lot of times that's a way that we hide ego. So question, if Christ really is the one we are living for, then why do we get defensive when we're attacked? If Christ is really the one we're living for, if we have laid down our own selves, then why is it that we get defensive when we're attacked? I think that's a good question to ask ourselves when we do start thinking, well, I was treated unfairly. What do we do with that? Well, resentment is corrosive. And that's what the character in Avengers Endgame said. But that's also what the Bible says. It says that anger unchecked will turn into bitterness, and that bitterness will eat away at us, at our souls, at our spirits. There's many places in the Bible that teach about how we should behave despite our emotions. And so I've chosen Romans 12, 17 to 21 to tie in here. And it says, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. That's from Deuteronomy. It says, instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. That's from Proverbs. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. First of all, I just want to say that we have to be careful that we're not just trying to be nice to people, so we're heaping coals. Any Anne of Green Gable watchers? Yeah. Do you remember how Anne would just every once in a while do something a little devious and just say, I'm just heaping coals? So we need to be sure that we check our motivation. And this scripture is being very clear about what our motivation should be. That when something evil happens, we don't repay it with evil. That we are being kind to those who aren't even kind to us. You know, one thing that I've recognized over the last few months is how I feel some days and how hard it is and how crummy I feel just when I'm out driving around in the world or when I'm at the store, and how easy it is to get irritated at other people who are driving poorly, other people, like, you know, who are at the grocery store and stop their cart right in the middle of the aisle, and then they're like going off, and how easy it is to feel like that's something, a personal affront to me. You're in my way. One thing that I've recognized in my own self is to remind myself that I don't know what any person is going through. That person who stopped their cart right in the middle of the aisle might have just gotten devastating news the day before at the doctor that they were diagnosed with cancer. That person who didn't seem to signal before changing lanes that I took an affront to because I felt like, you know, they're cutting me off in traffic. They might have just lost a family member. It's made me have more empathy for people and realize that we don't know what any one person is going through. I don't know what any one of you is necessarily going through right now. Now, I can look at you and judge you. I can judge your behavior. I can judge the expression on your face. I can do so much in my own head to decide what you are thinking, what you are doing, and turn it about me and take personal affront to that and then think, well, I'm being treated unjustly and become resentful. And this scripture is telling us that that's not how we are to behave. And if we spend that much time and energy doing that, man, it's hard to be compassionate and loving. And so really, resentment is corrosive. And I hate it. We have times in our life that we get angry. And anger is not a sin. There's nothing wrong with getting angry. Anger is like any other emotion or thing that we feel and deal with. We bring it to God. And we say, God, here's my situation. Will you help me with this anger? Help me to give up this attitude that I have towards this person so that I can love them purely and completely. That's how we're supposed to deal with all of our emotions. And sometimes anger gets the worst rap. Oh, you shouldn't be angry. Well, the opposite of that is, okay, fine, I'll stuff everything. And then that's not going to be useful for anyone. But when anger builds upon anger, builds upon anger, and you have a ball of rage that is just constantly burning inside of you, there's something more than just somebody made you angry today. And when that's the case, it's time to go really deeper and certainly go on your knees, but go beyond just on your knees and seek some professional help to figure this out. And it's not just with anger, with any sin. Any emotion, I guess, I shouldn't say sin because I just said anger is not a sin and it's not. So with any emotion that seems to be out of proportion to what an incident should have evoked, it's time to look more closely inside and say, what is it that has me in this ball of whatever it is, whether it be anger, whether it be bitterness, whether it be you've drank too much again, you're putting, you know, the extra dollar into the poker machine. I don't know, what is that? Oregon lottery. You're playing too much lottery. You're back on that website you weren't going to go on again. Anything like that, that you are finding in excess, that needs further examination. And I know we try and do it ourselves because it's embarrassing. But we all deal with things, and what God wants us to do is be completely cleansed. And so if you find yourself with something that's just eating at you, it's not just resentment that can eat at you. It's anything out of proportion to what God has given you to deal with. That you're chewing on it and gnawing on it and you realize, I should give this to God and I have given it to God and it doesn't seem to go away. That takes further intervention. And I want to make myself available to you as your pastor to talk about that, but also say there is absolutely no shame in getting counseling for that, because what we all are doing is we are in a pursuit of godliness and living not of this world but beyond this world into the heavenly lifestyle, having a heavenly point of view, a biblical point of view. And so it's really important not to let this body that is filled with the Holy Spirit be corroded. These emotions, this mental health, physical health, spiritual health, don't let it corrode away. Do something about it. Get on your knees and get on the phone and confess it to someone. There's something that someone once said, and it's this: if you don't heal what hurts you, you'll bleed on people who didn't cut you. Are you bleeding on anybody who never cut you? There's a good test. Resentment's corrosive, and I hate it. Our last quote today from the movie is, "Everyone fails at who they're supposed to be. The measure of a person is how well they succeed at being who they are." Everyone fails at who they're supposed to be. Who are you supposed to be? The measure of a person is how well they succeed at being who they are. I will tell you that this was said by a mother of one of the characters. I'll give you that much. You guys can guess. You can not guess. I'm not going to give you the answer because I'm not giving any spoilers. I want to share a story, though, that happened. What? What? Oh, she tried to give it away. Ooh, oh, gosh. Okay. So if you've seen Avengers and nobody else has, let's not spoil it for anybody else unless they say, I don't care. I'm not going to see it anyway. Let me tell you a story that happened to me a few years ago, I was in a group of pastors. And lo and behold, many times when I'm in a group of pastors, I am the only woman there. It is a field and a career that is mostly men. And even though the Free Methodist Church is open to ordaining women, and we're not of this world, we're of the heavenly realm, there's still a lot of worldly influence in trying to break through from, you know, the curse that just caused men and women to have a lot of disparity. At any rate, I wasn't that I was disrespected or anything like that, but there's sometimes that I get into groups, and especially if I don't know someone real well or the group really well, and I didn't know these people. There was only one person I knew, and I know that I can be kind of quick to share my opinion. I also know, and some of you might know this if you've hung out with me a little bit, I can be a little bit sarcastic. And maybe that's not the best trait. Maybe I should look at that a little more. But there's just certain things that I know about myself. And I know that if people don't know me well, that they don't necessarily get me all the time. So I decided in this group I was going to be a little bit more laid back than I usually am. So I decided I would be a little more meek. I wouldn't speak out or up too quickly. I certainly wouldn't, you know, joke with people until they got to know me well enough and get a little bit of a sense of my humor, which it's an acquired taste, actually. So I was being who I thought I was supposed to be. The woman pastor. You know, I'm serious because I'm a Bible scholar. I'm a theologian. And I'm sitting with this group of people. And we're just sharing experiences, you know, working with people and leading a church. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm uncomfortable. I'm doing my best. And one of the guys sitting next to me turned to me and said, "Well, do you think you might intimidate people a little bit? Because you really intimidate me." And I thought, I didn't cry, even though there was a part of me that wanted to. I thought, I've been not even being myself. I know myself can be somewhat intimidating. I've been told that for years and years and years. And I'm being this meeker, more like, you know, I don't know, this person that I would assume would be more expected of a pastor in, you know, even though she's a woman. And that blew me away. And so later that day, it took me a little while because I explained to him then that most people, if you asked them about me, would say I was a very loving person. Anyway, yeah, thank you. Anyway, later on, I just decided, forget it then. If I'm intimidating when I'm trying to be, you know, this demure professional self, I'm just going to be myself because I'm going to intimidate either way. So I realized when I heard this quote, where it says everyone fails at who they're supposed to be, I was putting on who I thought I was supposed to be. Have you ever done that before? Have you clothed yourself, cloaked yourself in who you thought someone expected you to be? And it doesn't feel real, but you're hoping to pull something off. And then you find out that not only do you feel crummy, but how you think you're projecting yourself isn't even how people are seeing you. We fail when we do that. What we need to do, what we want to do, is to succeed at who we really are. And so I want to ask us right now, who are we really? And I'm not looking for, a child of God, a citizen of heaven. I want a specific things about you that you know are unique. So here, I'm going to start with a couple of them. I'm empowered. I'm called. I'm extrovert. Oh, more than a couple. Okay. I'm extroverted. I'm passionate. And sometimes I'm a little bit wordy. And that's how God made me. And I'm embracing that. How did God make you? What is a unique trait about you? Anybody?
I'm funny.
Funny. You're funny. Yeah. You have ADHD. Yeah. What else? What else do you embrace as part of who you are? Yeah. You sing songs for everything. Your life is a musical. That's great. Jody. You are funny. You're funny. Yes. That's a good one. Yes. You like people. That's awesome. How else did God make you? You're obnoxious in the most loving way possible. That is so awesome. What else? What did God do? And do you just need to embrace? Yes. You're creative. Good. You are creative. I'm thankful for that. And you're creative too. Thankful for that. You're clumsy? Okay. We're here to help you pick things up. That's great. You're a little OCD. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. And we love that about you. It's okay to be who you are. Did you know that? It's so much more freeing than trying to be who you think you're supposed to be. And God wants you to be who you are. He loves to see his kids being who they are. He would much rather see you running around and having fun being who you are than sitting quietly with your head down and your shoulders slumped, wishing you were something different. God made you who you are. God made you how you are. He gave you your appearance. He gave you your hair color, whether it's real. No, he gave you your real hair color. You've chosen maybe to change it, and he doesn't even mind that. That's fine. He gave you your eye color. He gave you your height. He gave you your body type. He gave you your heart. He gave you your passions. He gave you the things you care about. He gave you the things that you notice in the world that other people may not notice. He gave you the ability, when you look at someone, to see someone in a special, unique way that maybe other people don't. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever thought that rather than wondering how people are looking at you, that it would be nice to let someone else know how you're seeing them? Jesus tells you how you see how he sees you. And he loves you. Quirks and all, because he put us together just that way. We're going to have expressive worship in just a bit, but I just want to mention that our two bistro tables, we now have two bistro instead of three bistro, and that was where we did our expressive worship time, part of what we do. One is now sketch and art. The other is now a Bible study, because I had a few people ask for something that was a little more intellectually stimulating. And so there's verses that are listed that tie into the topic of the sermon every week. And there's Bibles, and you can look those up as part of your time of worship. So I wanted to mention that. There's also a stack of bookmarks back there. And they're not bookmarks that I've handed out before that list who you are in Christ. They're another set of similar type of bookmarks. So if you want to keep a list of what Christ says about you in your Bible or in a book you're reading, take one of those bookmarks today. There are plenty, more than enough. So I am tying in this scripture as we close out with the quote about being yourself. For you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wondrous light. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you that you allow us to just kind of have fun, to look at your scripture and to see something as worldly as a movie or as out of this world as a movie made by Marvel, and be able to see that there's things in it that can tie into scripture. And so, Lord, as we go through this month and as we invite our friends to church and have the opportunity maybe to get movie tickets and go to a movie with our friends, help us, Lord God, to look at ways that in this life and as we engage in the world with our friends who do not know you, that we can draw things out of those experiences that will point people to your love and to expose the truth of who you are to those who are still in the darkness. Thank you, Lord God, for calling us into the light, for giving us your love and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.